shepherd. And we talked about what it meant to be a shepherd. I shall not want. We talked about that. Now, verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes God has to shut you down. Because you think if I don't keep this thing going, it's all going to fall apart. And God just says, watch this. We say it's in his hands, but is it really in his hands? Depends how, if you're really stressed, it's probably because it's not in his, oh, Lord, help us. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So today we're going to talk about those three. I'll spend more time on the first one, a little time on the second, very briefly on the third. So don't get all nervous about the time. Everybody okay? All right. So number one, he leads me beside still waters. We want to talk about rest. We want to talk about Sabbath. We want to talk about sabbatical. We want to talk about the seventh day, or actually the first day. This is the first day of the week. Isn't that interesting? This is the first day of the week. And we can talk, I could talk so much about this because of me doing the sabbatical ministry in the state, where we've had dozens and dozens of pastors. We've seen ministries saved, and we've seen churches saved and revived because a pastor just took a month off and did a sabbatical, and he came back refreshed with new vision, and the church was blessed by it. Amen. So I could preach a whole series on this, so please pray I don't this morning. But I do want to hit some of the highlights. Amen. And one of the things we got to talk about rest, because so many times when we talk about rest, we talk about rest from what we've been doing. I've been busy. I've been stressed. I've been stretched, and I need some rest. But really, rest time isn't always about rest from what you've been through, but rest was really designed for what you're about to do. Not just resting from, it's resting for what's ahead. And we'll talk about why that is. Charles Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher from a previous century, he said, rest time is not waste time. It is economy. It's money. It's economy to gather fresh strength. Fresh strength, praise God. Walter Brueggemann, who's he's pretty old now, but famous theologian in our time, he said, Sabbath means to be in a mode of receptivity, of receiving gifts to be given, and that requires one to slow down, to pause, to wait. Some of us are moving way too fast for God to help us. And sometimes you have to slow down, let him talk to you, find a quiet place, and just rest. Rest. But I think the greatest quote from one of the greatest theologians of our time, listen to this. Don't underestimate the value of doing nothing. Of just going along, listening to all the things you can't hear, and not bothering. Winnie the Pooh. What a wise Pooh he is. Oh, bother. Amen? How many think there's some wisdom in that? Don't underestimate the value of doing nothing. And the reason I have to say that is because this is contrary to the worldview today. And if you're caught doing nothing, people will look down on you as being lazy, being wasteful, stupid, because you got to go, go, go. You need to make money. You need to keep going. It's all on you. Ecclesiastes 10:10 from the Message. It says this, remember, the duller the axe, the harder the work. Use your head. The more brains, the less muscle. Sometimes you need to just stop chopping the wood and sharpen the axe. You can go home now. You can go home now. The word has spoken. Come on now. Amen. I mean, I could prove it in Scripture. In the book of Genesis, God takes Adam to the side, gives him a job description. He says, I want you to name all the animals, and I want you to work the garden. Amen. You have a job. You have a job description. You have a purpose in life. What does Adam immediately do? What does God tell Adam to do? Does he say, now get to work? He says, no, we're going to take a day off. He starts the day with a day of rest. Adam's first day was a day to do nothing. So he's ready to do something. Some of us need to learn the value of doing nothing, of just resting. Now, I know some of you are just lazy and you're really good at this. I know. You're out here. I'm not sure who you are, but I know you're here. At least 10%, right? You don't have any problem resting and and being lazy. But most of us are too driven to really understand this. But remember, I want you to remember, before Jesus started his ministry, he spent 40 days in the wilderness. Moses spent 40 years before he started his. The Scriptures tell us that Paul went into the wilderness for 40 days before he started. Amen. It's interesting that the Jews, when they look at the day, they believe the day begins at night. We believe the day begins when we get up, because it's all about us. But really, in the Jewish mind, the day begins when you go to sleep. The day begins when you get out of the way so God can do what he needs to do. I think we should get up in the morning, and the first thing, instead of saying, now, what do I need to do? The first thing we need to do is ask God what he's been up to all night. God, what have you planned for my day? What have you set up today? What's going on? What's been going on in the spirit realm while I've been sleeping? What am I going to face today? Get me ready for the day. Then make your plans based on what thus saith the Lord. How many think that makes sense? Woo, hallelujah. Even a baby's in the womb for 9 months before it goes to work, screaming and hollering. Amen. Let's look at Genesis 2 a little closer. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work. And he rested not because he was tired. How many believe, you know, God doesn't get tired? If he gets tired, he's not God. It's a contradiction of terms. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was done. Sometimes you need to know when it's done. I've done all I can do today. Let it go. Am I helping anybody? Too many people have too many regrets. Let it go. We go to bed at night. I should have done this. Let it go. Sabbath means it is finished. It is done. Cease. Quit. Let it go. Everyone say, let it go. Woo, hallelujah. You only could. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified. He made it holy. Watch how you deal with holy things. I'm only 10 minutes into this, and I've preached more. The ushers are coming back. We need to do another offering. This is good stuff. Amen. And he sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Each day, the other 6 days of creation, he always says, and it was good. And it was good. And it was good. And it is good. It is good. It is good. And on the seventh day, he said, it is holy. Big difference. It's not just good. It's not just good that you take a day off one day a week, but it is holy. Wow. Number two, we need to understand that, you know, the Sabbath was one of the Ten Commandments. Oh, I'm not getting anything on that. Which of the commandments are you okay to break? And we'll break that one in a minute. But don't, you know, we wouldn't be caught dead breaking any of the others. Well, we might lie once in a while. Come on. But we're not going to kill anyone, and we're not going to commit adultery, and we're not going to make any idols except for the TV set. Maybe we do break more than one. But we don't take seriously to keep holy the Lord's day. It is His day, actually, not yours. I'm trying to give you reasons to quit one day out of seven. You say, well, I gotta work Sunday. Then pick another day. But there needs to be a day each week that is your Sabbath. There are denominations who think we're wrong, that we're supposed to be worshiping on Saturday. Well, whatever. But Paul says one man regards the day, another one doesn't regard the day. You know, he was dealing with the transition from Jewish Christianity to Gentile Christianity, and he said some do, some don't. The point is, it's not all about Sunday or Saturday. It's about a day that we need to give back to God. How many believe it's time we take seriously this holy thing called a day off? So it may not be a law anymore. It's, you know, it was in the law of Moses. It's in the Ten Commandments. It was very, very, very. In fact, Jews today had a very strict law. They can only walk so far on the Sabbath. I mean, I forget how far it is. It's just a few blocks. That's all you can walk, much less work. Very strict rules about how you can live on that day. Very strict. We're not under that law anymore. But it's still a principle. It's still a principle. And if you violate the principle, like violating gravity, no one's going to put you in jail for defying gravity. But there are consequences. I'm always afraid I'm going to fall off this one of these days. By the time I hit 80, I probably will do it. Don't say it. Don't say it. You're right. Don't say it. If I fall off, I didn't break any rules, but I kind of did. I may not have broke a rule, but I broke a leg. It's still a principle. Say amen. It's still a principle. Can I get an amen? Woo, hallelujah. Number three. Wait a minute. Let me say this. I mentioned it. When we keep the Sabbath, we're really, one theologian, Brueggemann, I mentioned him, he wrote a whole book and he said, Sabbath as Resistance is the title of the book. You are actually resisting the world view. You're actually saying, because the world says it's all about productivity. It's all about making things. It's really the Pharaoh spirit. Make more bricks. And if you don't make more bricks, try to take a day off, we'll double it. You got to make twice as many bricks now. The world, it's all about productivity, right? It's all about materialism. It's all about profits and avarice. I always throw a big word in every week so you can learn a new one. But Sabbath, one man said, like, Sabbath is the answer to anxiety, coercion, exclusivism, and greed that exploits other people. Sabbath is the answer. It's taking one day that says, you know I'm supposed to work, but that doesn't define who I am. And this day is holy, and this is who I am, and this is between me and God. Oh, glory to his name. This is holy, and we need to keep it holy. Aren't you glad you're here today? People are watching on Facebook. We need to understand the power of this. And let me say this too, because I deal with this all the time. I preach this, others preach it, but some of the biggest offenders of this principle are preachers, pastors. Why? Because they get it in their head that they need to make sure that everybody knows how busy they are. And I kind of hate it sometimes. I understand it, but I don't always like it when people say, well, I didn't call you, Pastor, because I know how busy you are. Well, who told you that? I may not be as busy as you think. Ask Gloria. She never thinks I do enough. Amen. Pastors have this thing, you know, I've got to make sure, you know, because, you know, I may not be in the office all the time. I'm here, I'm there, I'm running around, I'm in the car, I work from home, whatever it is, but I got to make sure the members need to know I'm there and I'm busy. They obsess over this and they actually brag. They don't brag, they complain. I'm so busy. I'm so stressed. Well, relax. Take a day off. Oh, no. When I tell people they need to take a sabbatical, the fear, you would not believe the look in their eye. What? My people would never. Oh, the preacher gets a month off with pay? Even though they get 4, 5, 6 weeks vacation from their job. Pastor's not going to be here. Who's going to They freak out. I know what I'm talking about. But everyone that has done it has come back and said it was the best thing I ever did for me and for my church. It's time we understand the power. The power. It's time to quit, get away from this make more bricks philosophy, and let's go into the wilderness to worship. Whew, glory to God. Amen. You know, when the whole thing started out with the Exodus, it wasn't going to be a permanent, or at least Pharaoh didn't think it was going to be a permanent thing. They were just going to go for 3 days into the wilderness to worship. Your day off, its purpose is to worship. One person said that the Sabbath is for praying and playing. Praying and playing. And I think you need a good, and sometimes we think the two can't be done, but no, it's okay to put that together. Relax and pray. Be in the presence of God. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. All right, number three. What time is it? Relax. Who said that? Such wisdom. Such wisdom. Let's go to Mark 6:31. I'm talking about. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Jesus was guilty. Matthew 11:28, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. More words, Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Do you ever think, I don't understand why he makes more than me. I don't know where he gets all his. Yeah, and you know he's dishonest. Anyone who makes more money than you got it dishonestly. But he said, don't fret. Don't worry about people that are cheating to get ahead. God's going to take care of you. Wow. That's good stuff. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, rest under the shadow of the Almighty. Isaiah 30. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. One more, Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord. Not those who fight and clamor. Not those who fret and stress. Those who wait. Just wait on the Lord. Shall renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Hallelujah. All right, that's the first one. Number two, the second blessing is peace. Real quick, I won't be long, I promise. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then in verse 47, down a little bit later in the chapter, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Isaiah 26 from the Passion Translation, perfect, absolute peace. Surround those, watch this, whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. You know why some people lose their peace? Because their imagination goes crazy. They imagine the worst. They create situations that probably won't happen, but might. It could be one chance in 100, but that's what we're going to focus on. That's what we're going to fear. Their favorite two words are yes, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Come on now, church. Come on now. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says about peace. He said, what are you imagining? We need to imagine, wow, the peace of God. C.S. Lewis, some of you have read him. God cannot govern, or maybe that's God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself. Because it is not there. There is no such thing. Peace isn't necessarily just something he gives you. Peace is who he is. If you have him, you have peace. You have to be saved to have peace. You can't just go to church. You can't just claim things. You got to have him. Come on now, church, you got to have him. Philippians 4, 6 through 9, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, say everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I promise you, I've been at this thing. I got a little certificate in the mail from the Church of God days ago. Oh my, what is this certificate? It says, congratulations, you have been a licensed minister in the Church of God for 50 years. Where's my gold watch? I get a piece of paper. Thanks for your service. Huh? Signed with an auto pen. Well, I'm really down. The whole executive committee, all five have their auto pen. All... I appreciate it. Where was I? Verse 8, maybe? Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you have heard and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You got to have him, and you have to meditate on him to be able to have that constant peace in your life. Can I get an amen on that? One of my favorite scriptures, 1 Samuel chapter 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. I hate it when that happens. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. Put it in today's terms, the church was ticked off and blaming the pastor for all their trouble. Every man for his sons and his daughters. But Pastor David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Some of you have never learned how to strengthen yourself in God. Your strength comes from him. I'm not saying you manufacture strength, but you need to learn how to harvest that and strengthen yourself in the Lord in the middle of trials, in the middle of burdens, in the middle of too much on your plate, in the middle of I don't know if I can get through this, in the middle of this is the worst thing I've ever gone through. I got my hair cut the other day, and the gal that cuts my hair, she's been cutting it for a while now, and I said, changed jobs, so I missed one of the times. I said, well, how's your life been the last month or two? And she told me. It took the entire half hour. I didn't know a young person could have that many difficulties. I mean, she went through it. I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to have to tip this girl. I mean, people are going through some stuff. But we need to learn how to draw on that strength. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, nobody's helping me. Well, no one's talking to me. Shut up. Encourage yourself. One of my favorite verses. You know, when you're an introvert, my favorite TV show is Alone. I should have quit 10 minutes ago. Psalms 94. Anybody getting this? There's a lot of scripture you can put on your refrigerator. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Woo. It's like having a little bit of chocolate on a bad day. Come on now. Talking to the ladies. Psalms 116. I said to myself, watch this. Have you ever talked to yourself? It's okay to talk to yourself. It's when you start talking back that's getting weird. When you start having these conversations. Guys with the little white coats are coming. Okay. I said to myself, relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. Soul. Sometimes you need to say, soul. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Soul, listen to me. You've been rescued from death. You've been rescued from tears. And you, foot, were kept from stumbling. Come on, someone praise the Lord. Sometimes you gotta talk to yourself. The third blessing. This is really quick. The third blessing. What is it? He restores my soul. You know what I'm talking about. Psalms 51. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. He restores my soul. That's your emotional state, your thinking, your mind, your emotions, number one. But number two, he restores your joy. Church, you got to keep your joy. If you lose your joy, the devil has won a major victory. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Amen? Good song. I knew it. Number three, I'm almost done. Number three, he'll restore you when you're crushed. Thus says the High and Holy One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a, who do I dwell with? With him who has a contrite and humble spirit to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Can't be all that and have God revive you. But most importantly, and we'll close somewhere around here, he will revive, he will restore your past that you may have lost. Joel chapter 2. For I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust the consuming locust. He said every kind of grasshopper. Every kind of locust. There were different kinds of locusts. He said every kind of locust, the chewing locust. Sometimes it is from God. He said, my great army which I sent among you. But listen, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Come on and praise him. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah! You don't need to have regrets. Whatever has been lost can be restored. It can be restored. It can be reshapen, remade. God can bring it back. Amen. Quit grieving over loss when God says, I can restore. He didn't say the locusts wouldn't eat your harvest. He said, when they do eat your harvest, I'll restore it. I like that scripture that says, if you steal something, you have to restore it sevenfold. How many know God will do the same? And I don't know how many times I've stood and claimed. Now, listen, the devil took this, and I believe in Jesus' name that God will restore it to me sevenfold. Stand to your feet and claim it in the name of Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God, amen. Wow. Each week we'll go through the 23rd Psalm, do two or three of these.